Are you afraid that someone is keeping a secret from you?
You didn't even tell us.
Are you ready? Then brace yourself. Here they are.
Get these bozos off the air.
Felger and Mann, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hi, guys.
It's hour number three of Felger and Maserati. We get to your phone calls in just a second, but as promised, joining us now on the AT&T Expert Hotline is President and General Manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs, Brian Burke. Brian, thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Hi, Brian.
So, are you sick of being asked about Phil Kessel, especially when you head back to Boston? It's obviously you play each other so often during the regular season, it must always come up. Is it getting tiresome?
No, not one bit.
So, and that I assume is because, and you've said publicly many times, so we'll ask you here again, if you had to do it all over again, you would do it all over again.
I would. I expect to get asked about Phil when we play here. He was a good player here, and, you know, obviously it was a high-profile deal, so I may get tired about asking him, but I expect it. And I was pretty sure it was going to be your first question, Tony.
Well, and I'm Mike, and Tony's going to ask even more obnoxious questions, so just stand by for that. But explain, why is it a trade you still feel good about?
Well, when I go after a guy, I don't know if, you know, people focus on this in Boston. When I go after a player, I go after the player. I focus more on what I get than what I give up. And the fact is, we paid a very high price for a very exceptional young player. He's in a bit of a drought right now. But this is a guy that we're very happy to have. I think we'd get more production out of him if we had a true number one center. We don't. And that's just the piece we're going to have to put on the chessboard as we go. It's very seldom do you get them all at once. And we're content with the price we paid. He's a good guy. He's a good teammate. And he's a good hockey player.
Is Toronto a tough place for him? I mean, everyone has different personalities. He has his. Shy is one way to put it. But, you know, he certainly has his way of carrying himself. And is that a tough match in Toronto?
I don't think so. I think the reason it's a tough match in Toronto is because we have struggled. I think if our team were doing better, everyone would be happy with everything. I mean, it's hard to explain as good a hockey market as Boston is. It's hard to explain the place that hockey occupies in the marketplace. It is the Bruins, Celtics, Red Sox, and, you know, the Patriots combined.
Brian, look, there's obviously been a lot of attention on that deal, and now is another deadline here approaches. Is there anything that would prevent you from dealing with Boston again here as the next couple of weeks unfold?
No.
And I
paused and I just should have stepped on it. I took that long a pause. There's no, I'm a fan of Peter Chiarelli's. The Boston Bruins have been extraordinarily kind to my family over the years in different situations where it was really appreciated. So no issue there. I think Pete's a good guy. I think he's done a good job. And there's nothing to prohibit further dealings.
And are you having any discussions with the Bruins now?
Yes.
So do you understand where we come from on that, Brian? In that, you know, that there'd be some gun-shy nature there given just the ramifications and the pressure that's been on you and everybody with that Kessel trade. I mean, that's still a trade that's talked about and debated intensely. So, maybe some fans would look at that and say you'd be gun-shy.
That's part of the job. That wouldn't affect – we would do – our end of it, the end that's being second-guessed is not Boston's end. The end that's being second-guessed is our end. You know, no one's questioned the wisdom. We didn't think when we made this deal that it would end up being the second pick overall, but we're still content to pay that price. It would probably be more difficult if I felt somehow we had come out on the short end of that deal. I don't. And it was our deal anyway. You know, in our business, you can't initiate a deal and then complain if it isn't exactly what you wanted. It's your deal. You know, like I can't start a trade where I trade Tony Maserati to the Boston Bruins, and it bites me in the ass, and then I complain and say, "Oh, it wasn't a good deal. It's my deal. I have to take ownership of that." So the deal is dissected and second guessed, not by me, and so there's no issue.
Brian Burke, President and GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining us right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Brian, so you've said that you are talking with Peter Chiarelli, are talking with the Bruins on a trade. Can I ask you, do you want your draft pick back?
We're not talking about our draft pick, no.
So is there any way we can define that any further?
Well, I think no, because the question you're leading up to, I have no problem telling you what we're talking about within certain parameters. The player you're asking about is a player with Thomas Carverley. His agent has asked that all discussions regarding this player be kept quiet. That's been respected by him, by the agent. It's been respected by any of the clubs that have asked about him, and it's certainly going to be respected by me. So we'd have to stop the discussion there if that's the player we're talking about. And I'm going to respect the player's wishes if that is the player we're talking about. So, well, we can talk about something else, but we have had discussions with the Bruins. There is no barrier to that. There's no hard feelings. There's no sense of, oh, it's a chance that we've got to even the score somehow. If we can make a deal with the Bruins that makes sense to both teams, we're going to do it.
Okay, so obviously you can't, but the next question was, has Cabrelet waived his no move? I know there's been conflicting reports in Toronto about that.
Yeah, and it's really no one's business. It's the way the player's decision to handle it in this manner, and that's the way I'm going to handle it.
Okay, one more question on Kessel, and that's it. And I wanted your thoughts on what happened to him up at the All-Star Draft process, him being picked last, and just the whole nature of that thing. What were your thoughts on that?
I thought Phil handled it extraordinarily well. I thought it was an uncomfortable situation. I pointed out to the league well before the event that this, you know, these are all All-Stars. No one should get picked last. I would have felt just as uncomfortable with Paul Stastny, who was picked next to last. I would have felt just as uncomfortable for Paul. I felt uncomfortable for them both sitting there watching this wind down. I think there's got to be a better way to take the last four players. If you do a preordained selection or go alphabetically or somehow divide up the last four, because at that point all your goaltenders and defensemen are gone. With the format they used, it was only forwards. Do the last four alphabetically and spare next year's kid. I don't care so much about Phil because I thought we handled it really well, but make sure next year some kid isn't squirming up there on national television.
All right, Brian, we'll shift gears. In the last week or so, the Bruins had a game here against Montreal that was very physical, a lot of penalty minutes, a lot of fights. And then there was the Islanders-Penguins game, which everybody saw and knows about. Mario Lemieux came out after that game and made some critical comments and has opened himself up to criticism because he is a player on his own team, let's face it, in Matt Cook, who has dealt a couple of hits at least within the last year, one to Mark Savard, one in the corner the other night, or a couple of weeks ago, I guess, a week ago, that resulted in a four-game suspension. What is your feeling about fighting in the league, head hits in the league, and the Muse comments?
Okay, big question. First off, I think Mario Lemieux is a Hall of Famer and an owner in our league and is entitled to voice his opinion whenever he wants, as long as he understands when you throw stones like that, your own team's conduct is going to be called into question at once, and that's what's happened. And I'll leave it at that. I think Mario's entitled to speak on the game with what he gave to the game. I think he's entitled to speak whenever he wants. But understand the risk. As you say, when you dress Matt Cook, when you lead the league in fighting majors, you're going to get an instant response from the media and a wrathful response from the media, and that's what happened. But I really respect Mario and like him personally, so I think he can speak when he wants. It's no different than, you know, there's a lot of great players in our game, and when they speak, I think they're entitled to. The headshot issue, to me, is a different issue. What happened? The difference for me, and you guys may not agree with this. Maybe your listeners don't, but I watched the Boston game, and I felt it started funny. You know, I thought it was mostly spontaneous or settling score. You know, I don't think it was a plan to let's have 20 fights or let's have 10 fights. I think the game evolved that way, and that happens. And as long as we allow fighting in our game, which I support, that's going to happen. I thought the Islander game was quite different. I thought it was the plan was somehow, not suggesting the coach planned it, but there was a very different undertone to that game in my mind. I thought the league's response was appropriate. It was swift and harsh, and I thought it should have been. That's not our game. That's not what we're selling. That's not what we put out there every night, that kind of hockey. And it wasn't hockey for me. I didn't enjoy it at all. And I like a good fight as much as anybody. I didn't enjoy that game. I thought the Bruins game was very different. So to me, in the headshot issue, I think we've been out in front of the headshot issue. Our treatment of concussions has been ahead of the other leagues, and the other leagues really are copying us now. We're in a full contact sport, gentlemen. There's going to be concussions.
Brian Burke, GM of the Toronto Maple Leafs, joining us. NBC, I don't know if you knew this, Brian, but during the Sunday national telecast here in America of the Bruins and the Maple Leafs, Bruins and the Wings, between the first and second period, Milbury and those guys had two full segments devoted to fighting in the NHL, and NBC would not show video of it. They said we didn't want to celebrate it, which to me showed a movement or something, a wish on the part of the league not to show that stuff, as if the league were ashamed of it, or I don't know, trying to move away from it. Is that true? Do you find the NHL wants to move away from that? And I mean, they moved away from it to a point already. Do you think they want to go even further and take fighting further out of the game?
I don't think there's any sentiment. I was not aware of that that sentiment as far as whether to show fights or not. I certainly wouldn't have been wouldn't have bothered me if they didn't show some of the footage from the Islander game. But that being said, I don't sense any movement afoot to eliminate fighting in our game at this point in time. What happens this time of year, it's happened this year and it's happened in prior years, fighting does spike in mid-February. This is where you've got your last two divisional games. You know, if you're playing the last month of the season, you might have Boston twice more if you're Montreal. There might be scores to settle that players want to settle. You're trying to make a statement within your conference to other teams that you might play in the playoffs. So fighting does go up, but it's still, I think, at a manageable level, and I don't sense any movement afoot to reduce, let alone eliminate, fighting.
Brian, quickly, you said that you support fighting in the league. Why?
Because it's been part of our game since we opened our doors. I think it's an important historical part of the game, and I think it's an important part of how our game is played. It's distinctive to hockey in North America, and in my mind, we shouldn't change that. And people that object, as Mike Mowbray once famously said, if you don't like it, watch something else.
Brian Burke, I agree with you 100%. Last question for you. In your opinion, as a objective league observer, who are the elite teams in the league, and where do the Bruins relate to those teams? Are they in that group?
I think Boston's in that group. In the East, you know, the best team, in my opinion, in the last month or so has been the Flyers. I have to make full disclosure, my son works for the Flyers. But I think they've been the best team. I think Boston is right there with them in the East. I think Pittsburgh healthy is right there with them, but they're not healthy right now. But I think that the teams in the East had better be looking across the country as far as elite teams to be nervous about, because the Bruins just found that out on the weekend playing Detroit twice. That's one of the best teams in the West, and they just beat Boston twice. That's the problem with the East, I think. Whoever you think you're going to beat, and, you know, again, I was GM of a Cup team 3 short years ago or 4 years ago now, and you got to look across. You know, you got to worry about beating everyone in your conference. Then you got to go on the other side and do it again.
All right, Brian, thank you again so much for taking the time. We really do appreciate it. Good luck the rest of the year, but just not tonight.
Yeah, I hear you. Good luck.
Thanks, thank you, Brian.
Okay, Brian.
Appreciate it.
Thanks again. Toronto Maple Leafs GM Brian Burke acknowledges that he is talking to the Bruins on a trade, acknowledged that the number 5 overall pick, Toronto's pick, is not what they're talking about right now, and then offered up without being asked, Caberle being the guy that he can't talk about. So piece it together if you want.
Not hard to figure, right? They almost had a deal for the guy a year ago. They need a puck-moving defenseman. He's an unrestricted free agent. It's an easy one to figure. Now, whether or not they get him is a completely different animal. But I would submit, Mike, if the Bruins want him, they have enough to trade that they should be able to outbid anybody for him. Really, for any player out there.
No question.
Okay, so it really comes down to how badly the Bruins want a guy. All of that said, and not that this has anything to do with anything, I've never met Brian Burke. We've had him on this program twice, and I can tell you that I think he's one of the best guests we have on every single time we have him on.
Awesome.
He's great. Great.
He's honest.
He answers questions. There's no tap dancing, no bull crap. You ask him a question, he gives you an answer, and if he can't answer it, he tells you he's not going to answer it.
He's so good, he gave us an answer without the question.
I loved it.
Thomas Caberle.
617-779-0985. Instant feedback at 985 thesportshub.com. Text 69985. Elgar and Mez. 985 The Sports Hub.